Today we're going to look back and be grateful, and then we're going to look forward with vision. And I want to take a verse from Genesis 18, verse 14, and I'm going to jump off of it today thematically for where we're going as we look forward to the new year. Now, in 3 weeks, I'll be back in that Romans series, and we'll come to Romans 12, the most powerful verses, I believe, in all the Word of God. Romans 12, 1 and 2, where he tells us to present our bodies a living sacrifice. I can't wait to dig into those two verses that we're going to look at. But that'll come. We're going to look today, look back, and then visionary, and then next Sunday, unpack more of that, and then we'll be jumping back into Romans. But today in Genesis chapter 18, you find three men. These three men encounter Abraham and Sarah. And when you read the context of chapter 18 and 19, you know that one of those men was the Lord Yahweh. We find his name here. The two that were with him, they looked like men, were angels, because we find them going on to Sodom in chapter 19, two of the three, and they go down to Sodom and deal with that city. But these three come, these three men, and they encounter Abraham and Sarah and speak of a coming baby, and of course Sarah laughs. If you were in your 90s, you'd laugh. You'd say, my goodness. But then the Lord speaks, Yahweh speaks, in verse 14 of Genesis 18, and he asks the question, is anything too difficult for the Lord? Now, what's the answer to that? No. So he asks Sarah and Abraham, is anything too difficult for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you. At this time, next year, and Sarah shall have a son. I'm coming at an appointed time next year. I want you to think with me about next year. I'm telling you this morning that God is going to birth some things in your life, in your family, and in our church that we yet know about. It's not even coming to our mind. And yet next year, God is going to bring new things to many of us. As a matter of fact, some of you are going to have a baby next year and you don't even know it yet. Some of you have been praying that that would happen. But God is not just in the birthing of children business in 2019. He's going to birth new vision, new ministry, new sacrifice, and new joy in your life, in your family life, and certainly in the body life of this place we call Olive here and on the Warrington campus. And who knows, there may be another campus that we birth this year. Flat out, full disclosure, no plans in the pastor's mind for that on this last Sunday of 2019. But it yet may be, because I didn't have Warrington in my mind. And God birthed that among us. And my goodness, what a child it has become. It's growing and going. And I want us to think about next year. While I was on my November break, God birthed three words in my heart that I'm crafting this New Year message around today that I want to give to you. I read them in an old book from a dead preacher, and I saw those three words, and I said, that's it. It's God's word to me to give to our church. This is what, you're going to get sick and tired of hearing these three words from me this year. You will wake up in the middle of the night if you come hear me preach on a regular basis, and you will say, is he in this room? I hear him saying those words. Here are those three words. No, K-N-O-W, show and grow. Know, show, and grow. Here's how you remember them. Know, show, and grow. Know, show. Are you just going to sit there? You're going to help me. All right, guys, let's go. Those three words are the three nails I want to drive into the wall of this church today, and I want to hang these truths. I want you to know some things. I want you to show some things, and then I want you to grow in some things of the Lord God during this coming year. So we're going to jump into these three, and I want you to see them. There are three verses of Scripture that we'll find, 1 John and then 2 in 1 Peter, that we will look at this morning as we march forward with these three words. If you're ready, say, I'm ready. Here we go. Number one is the word know. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. Everyone should have this verse memorized. It was one of the first verses I ever memorized as a young college student trying to go forward in my faith. Now I want you to look at this verse with me. 1 John 5 verse 13. Here it is on the screen. Let's read it all together out loud in unison. Here we go. Read it with me and read it now. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may... You're as sorry as that first crowd, all right? Here we go. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may... Oh, you woke up. That you have eternal life. Let me tell you, friend, you will never live for Jesus if you don't know for assurance that you are saved. If you don't know that you know that you know, you'll never live for God. If you're always doubting and fluctuating and wondering and saying, well, you know, if I were to die today, well, I'm not sure. Friend, if you don't know for sure that heaven's your home, the other side of death, you ought to run to this altar this morning and come to faith in Christ. Amen. I want you to know. He said, I have written these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God that you might know that you have eternal life. Now, you've got your Bible open right there to 1 John. Back up to verses 11 and 12. Look at it. And the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life. It's a gift, and this life is in the Son. So if He's given us the gift of life and the life is in the Son, then the gift is the Son. And he that has the Son has eternal life, but he who does not have the Son does not have life. He's written these things to us, the Word of God. So that we can have and know that we have eternal life. John 20 and verse 31. But these things have been written so that you may that believe in Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that believing you may have life in His name. John's been singing all morning about His name, about His name. He didn't know I was going to preach and use these verses today. We didn't even talk about it this week. Been so busy we didn't even coordinate. But God knew and He put all of that together. It's about His name, His name. His wonderful, majestic, saving name. He that has the Son has eternal life. But then he goes on to say, he who does not have the Son does not have the life. Why is that? Because Ephesians 4:18 tells us, being darkened in their understanding, they're excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them because of what? The hardness of their heart. Dear friend, if your heart's hard and you just keep saying no to God, you won't know Him because you've rejected the Son and you're lost. But when you open your heart and Jesus steps in, then you know that you know you know. Do you know you're saved today? Are you sure? If your funeral was tomorrow, would I have anything to preach about you? Could I say to your family, to your friends, most assuredly, He left planet Earth and He's gone to heaven? Do you know that?
Well, preacher, can you really know? 1 John 5:13 says, these things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you might know. I want you to know. I want you to know. Now, salvation is more than intellect, but the mind. Oh, there is much to do in the mind. For what you believe is much of who you are. When we get over there to Romans 12 and those beautiful two verses, he's called us to present our bodies a living sacrifice unto God, our holy, this reasonable service of worship, and not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. As you think in your heart, so are you. Some people will say to our preacher, you can't really know that you're going to heaven. Oh, yes, you can. You can know. Somebody sees my wife and I together. They say, are you married? I say, yes. 1976, 18, December, 6 o'clock, First United Methodist Church, Gunnersville, Alabama. How do you know? I said, we have children. I didn't prove anything. But we're in love. Well, that doesn't mean you're married. Doesn't prove it. I said, well, we get chills and thrills. Chills and thrills doesn't prove anything. I'm telling you, I married Liz. I did it. Take it, bring a witness, my father. He'd lie for you. He's my best man. How do you know? You go to the Marshall County Courthouse, you look up the records, you find it written black ink on white paper. There it is, right there. We signed. He signed. He said, will you? I wilted. She said, I do. I'll never forget my father saying to me when I introduced my sweet Liz. I said, this is Liz. And he said, well, it's good to meet you. And I said, and we're going to get married. And later that afternoon, he and I were alone, and he said, has she said yes? I said, yes, she said she'd marry me. He said to me, I'll never forget it. I mean, he was dead serious. He looked me right down. He said, you better get that deal done before she changes her mind. Now, if you'd asked my mother, it'd been the other way around, but you know how mothers are. Dr. Charles Carter, pastor of the Shades Mountain Baptist Church in Birmingham, Alabama, used to see me as I preach in Birmingham. He'd see my father when he's there. He'd walk up and say, Mr. Traylor, yeah, I said, you're Ted's dad, yeah. I said, you know, he'd always say it that way, the greatest day. That's the way he'd say it. He said, the greatest day's work that boy ever did is when he talked that girl into marrying him. My daddy'd say, amen. How do you know you met? Because you signed the paper. It's there. It's written. I'm telling you, God wrote this book, and he says to you, if you believe, I've written these things to you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. That you know. And some of you are in this room today, and you're doubters. You're doubters. You just don't know that you know. Let me give you three little thoughts. A, B, C. If you want to come to faith in Christ today, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you're not a Christian, you're not certain of your salvation, A, admit your need. Just tell the Lord you don't know. The only thing you do know is you're a sinner. You're not certain. Admit your need. Number next, B, believe Jesus died for you. He didn't just die for me and these others. He died for you. And then C, come to him. Come to him by faith. Jesus said, if you would follow me, leave all you got, come to me, come and follow me. In just a few minutes when we finish this service, I'm going to have a prayer time down here, and then I'm going to ask you, if you want to know the Lord, you go out there in that foyer. There's some next step tables. Brother Sean will be there. Some other lay leaders will be there around him, and they will help you to come to know the Lord. They'll help you to know A, B, C. You go right there. You can get saved today. The last Sunday of the year, you ought to do the greatest thing you could ever do if you've never trusted him. So, preacher, I'm already a church member. I'm not asking you if you're a church member. If you're saved, you ought to join this church. That'd be good, and you ought to be baptized like these two were. But I'm telling you, you need to know Christ. These things I've written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you might, what's that word? Know that you have eternal life. Second word is the word show.
Now, it's found in 1 Peter. You got to back up just a few pages into the epistle of 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9. All of 1 John. Oh, it's so rich. It's there. Don Fanning, who is a member of our church, who used to teach at Liberty University and now goes to Cuba again and again and again, speaks Spanish, does a great job going down to Cuba over and over. That great missionary strategist has written a book on the first, second, and third epistles of John. And the title of Dr. Fanning's book is Know for Sure. Know for Sure. Amen. That's what you can have today. First John is that you can know for sure that you are saved. But now second word is show. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9. Now the first thing you're going to note is that the word show is not in the verse. Not in the King James, or not in the New American Standard. However, it is in the Authorized King James Version, and we're going to jump off of that word, and I want to show that word to you. Look at it, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9. Here it is. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may, say that word, proclaim. That's our word. That you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. If you're reading the King James Version this morning, where I memorized this verse for the first time, it will say that you may show forth the excellencies of Him. You may show forth the excellencies of God's mercy. The word show forth is the word ex angelo, X-E-X. Now you see that sign says exit over there? What's that mean to do? Go out, leave, scat, get, exit. Exit means out. E-X is the first part of this word. Ex angelo, A-G-G. When you put the two G's together in Greek, you get an N. Angelo, which means to proclaim. So you got out proclaim. It means to proclaim out, to tell it out, to show forth. That's the word right here, that we are to show forth the excellencies of God. Why do we do that? Because the church is a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and God's possession. Therefore, we should act like we are God's possession. We are a holy nation. We are a royal priesthood. And we are a chosen race. We should show the world who chose us. Show the world our royalty. Show the world our holiness. Show the world that we are possessed of God. Show. That means, church, in 2019, we got to be on mission. Showing forth the excellencies. No, if you don't know, you'll never show, because you can't show what you don't know. But if you know, you show the excellencies of God. You want to know why we're not on mission? Because we disengage ourselves too much from the non-Christian world. Some of you would have to think hard even to have a friend who's lost. I'm talking about a good friend now, a good friend who's lost. Someone that you would converse with. You really are friends. See, what happens, the longer we're saved, the more that we tend to close in to our little holy hot chocolate huddles in our Baptist fellowship. Because we want to grow together. But Jesus said we're to be light and we're to be salt. If we're not careful, we will disengage way too much. I know you have to be careful. You got to be in the world, but not of the world. And you can't let them influence you. You must influence them. But you'll never touch them if you don't show up. You can never show the gospel. We're not mixing much with non-Christians. You got to know some folks out there. About 3 or 4 years ago, Dr. Kim Jernigan, who sits on this front row in the first service, she is a dentist to my friend Fred Levin, the attorney in town. I say his name, you know his name. He's face all over billboards in town. You know him. If you've never read his book, I'd challenge you to
Read his life stories book. It's an incredible, intriguing history of Pensacola, Florida, as well as the life of the Levin family. Kim called me one day. She said, "Pastor, our friend Fred has cancer. And I've asked him if we can come pray." And I said, "I'm in." So we went down to his house, and for 45 minutes we laid hands on him and prayed. I'll never forget it. He said, "You know, I don't believe in his praying too much." We said, "Fred, you just be sick. We'll do the praying." We went to Boston. They did a little surgery, and the tumor just fell out, and he is well. He believes God touched him. So he came home, and he called a party. He invited over 100 people to come to his house. I got an invitation. My wife said, "Are we going to that?" I said, "Well, I've never been to a cocktail party before, but I'm going to this one. I'm going to go." And so we went, and man, every shaker and mover and undertaker and upper keeper was in that room. I went in, I got me a Diet Coke, put me a lime in it. I walked around, saw some of my friends. They sat down what they had and got them a Diet Coke. You got to show up. So we were there. We just had a great time. Singing and, you know, it was a rejoicing. It was a party. About the time it was going to break up, the housekeeper came, put his arm around me and said, "Mr. Levin would like you to close this event, say anything you want to say, and then pray." I said, "Do you know what I do?" He said, "Yes, we know, you know, I know you, and certainly Mr. Levin knows you." I said, "Okay." He said, "It'd be about 10 minutes. I said, "All right." I went to the bathroom. I ran to the bathroom. I was going to throw up. Honest. I closed the door, locked the door, got on my face in the bathroom. I said, "Lord God, I'll never have opportunity to speak to some of these people in this room again. Help me. Help me do it right." So I went back, and God gave me the correct way, I believe, of sharing the gospel. And I took 5 minutes, and I made the gospel as plain as I could make the gospel. Danny Warfel's story, Fred's connection to Danny, the Warfel Award that I took him to one time, the gospel, and I just shared that story. I prayed, and the meeting was over. I started out, I was parked out back, and so I went through the kitchen. As I went through the kitchen, there was a little lady who was there. I don't know how old she was, but you could tell she was working in the kitchen. She served and was part of the wait staff. And as I walked through, she jumped up and grabbed me around the neck. And she screamed out, "My Lord, I've been praying 40 years for somebody to tell the gospel in this house." I didn't know it. They made a video of that, and they sent it to, I don't know how. I had people calling me, asking me, I said, "I don't know." I said, "I don't even think I was there. I think I had an out-of-body experience. I don't know." Here's what I'm telling you, friend. If you don't ever show up, you can't show. You can't become so disengaged to this lost world that you don't touch the lost world. That's why we have to have a presence in lost settings. Not where they influence us, but where we are salt and light to them. So today, I'm going to give you 3 action points. Number one, when you walk out the door today, I'm going to hand you a black track like this one that I threw off in the flowers a while ago. What is the gospel? I'm going to give everybody, they're at the doors. I want everybody, not one per family, one for everyone, every child, every 4-year-old that's in here ought to get one. And I want you to pray. I want you to pray, "Oh God, who send me
where I need to go with this gospel tract. I want everybody to take one. Put it in your pocket, your purse, wherever. And I want you just to ask God where you're to share it, place it, read through it first, get to know it. God may want you to have an encounter. You may just give it away. You share it. I want you to, everybody take one. That's number one. Everybody take a gospel tract. Number two, I want you to mark your calendar for February 22, 23, 24, and 25. It is Belong, the link to hope. Belong, the link to hope. Scott Dawson is going to be here on a Friday night, a Saturday, a Sunday morning, a Sunday night, and then a Monday event as well, as he shares. One of those events is going to be on the campus of the University of West Florida as we go after college students, and that leads me to my third action point today. Not only do I want you to take a track and give it away, mark your calendar and invite your friends to Belong, a link to hope for that evangelistic weekend. But number three, I'm going to ask in just a moment when I finish point three, which is relatively short, I'm going to ask you if you are a student, a former student, the parent of a student or a former student, a professor, if you are in a maintenance department, if you are connected to the University of West Florida in any way, I'm going to ask you to get up out of your seat when I ask you to come, and I want everybody to kneel. This place was flooded at 9:30. This whole, all the way back almost to the front pew, flooded with people connected to the University of West Florida. That is our, I'm telling you, it is a mission point just up the street. We love that place. They are our neighbors, and we must go to them. You understand that today's leaders were yesterday's students. And today's students will be tomorrow's leaders in this city. It's a growing place. More and more people moving here to come to school at the University of West Florida. Football has just been like gas on a fire over there. Just causes the school to blow up. It's just another activity. I'm going to ask you if you have any. I wouldn't come because I don't have a connection. I'm just their friend. I love it. I'm praying for it, but I'm going to ask you if you have any connection to that school. I'm going to ask you to come in a moment, and I want you to kneel right here. We must engage our culture. We must touch those students and the faculty and everyone else on that campus, and we must be their friends in Jesus' blessed name. Say, preacher, they teach stuff we don't agree with. Half the churches in town teach stuff I don't agree with. Doesn't mean they're not my friends, and certainly that school's going to be my friend as we reach out to it. We must know, then we're going to show, but now thirdly, we're going to, what is it? Don't go to sleep on me now. I know you had a long night. Grow, grow, grow. It's 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. Look at it right here, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Like newborn babies, long for the pure or the sincere milk of the word, so that by it you may what? Grow in respect to salvation. First of all, I want you to know that you're saved. Second, I want you to show that you're saved. Thirdly, we're going to grow in our salvation. How does that happen? By desiring the sincere milk of the word. The word, the word, the milk of the word. Now, there are places in Scripture where there is a contrast between the milk of the word and the meat of the word. That is not the case in this text. He is saying here, just as you begin, you desire milk, pure milk. That means there's some putrefied milk out there somewhere. There's some stuff you shouldn't be drinking. There's some things you shouldn't be eating. Liberal theology ought to have no place in your life. There are things being taught that you shouldn't swallow. But the sincere, pure milk of the Word, you need to get that in you. You need to read the Word of God. This book's alive, friend. It's a sharp, two-edged sword. It'll cut you. That's the reason most people don't read it. Because it'll do surgery on you. Open heart. No anesthesia. Bam! And it cuts to the very heart. Last night, my daughter and son-in-law went on a date. And part of the date was their children stayed at our house. This was a long day because the children stayed all night at our house. Do you know that kids eat all the time? That's how they grow. They eat and they drink all the time. They get up in the middle of the night and want to eat. That's how they grow. And so this morning we got up and the hot water heater was out. Don't worry, I don't need your help. I'm a grown man. I'll be all right. I know people. But it was not easy. So my wife looked like she'd been shot 3 times and run over 4. I mean, it was, had to get those kids up and get them to Sunday school. Let me tell you, if you don't feed kids, they're not going to grow. And if you don't feed you, you're going to be anemic. And when the storm comes, you're going to say, "Well, I don't know what to do." Grow up! This book, it'll lead you where you need to go. But you got to read it more than you watch Fox News. Amen. What if we just read the Word of God more than we looked at our phone? Revival, breakout. They put a little deal on my phone. I don't know how stuff gets on my phone. It just shows up. I got a deal the other day. This week, your phone visuals increased and told me how many percent. I said, "How do you know where? I don't even know where I've been." And I began to think, I'm not looking at it that much. But I wish we had a gauge. It said, "You read the Bible." We probably don't want to look at that. See, we're eating everything else but the sincere, pure milk of the Word. Man, what if we read it as much as we looked at our phone? What if you read it as much as you looked at your phone during this sermon? Oh, me! Three things about the Word, then we pray. Read it. Tomorrow I will finish reading through the Bible for 2018. I'll read the book of Malachi, the last book I'll read. Finished up Zechariah, the last 3 chapters this morning. I'm in that Old Testament deal. If you're not a Bible reader, be one in 2018. And if you've never read the Bible through, please don't start in Genesis and just take off. You're going to get to Leviticus and run in a ditch. It's so deep, you'll die. Go to John, Matthew, Mark. Start in John and read to the Revelation. Okay? Just start at John and read that. Then go back to John and read that. Go back to John and read that. Read it over and over. You say, "Preacher, why'd I have to watch it twice?" It's the same reason you watch Fox News at 7 and 11. It's the same show. Read the Word of God. Number two, discuss the Word of God. Get in a small group. If you're not in a connection group here at Olive, you need to get in one. And we've got 500, 600, 700 people that come here on Sunday that never go to a small group. There's some good reasons for that, but some are not so good. People tell me, it's just not very good. Well, you start one, and we'll complain about yours. You never know. You may learn something. Go somewhere and engage. Then thirdly, study the Bible. There's a difference in reading and studying the Bible. You read, you underline, you mark words, you get some commentary, you get with other people and you dialogue about that outside of a connection group, maybe a small group of just 3 or 4 men or women. You get together and you're in that. You study the Word of God. You dig down deep and you do that with friends. You ought to make this your friend. Oh, your friend right here. There's one more thing I want to tell you, and this is an Alabama word. tote it. You know what tote means? It means to carry. Carry your Bible. I've started doing it when I go to the hospital. I'm amazed. I got a New Testament, and anywhere I go in the hospital, I just take my New Testament, and I just got it in my hand. I walk. It opens doors. I'm walking in the other day to go see somebody. I didn't know if I could get in. I had to go back here. He said, "The man of God's here." I looked around for him. I didn't know where he was. Is that book? You don't use it for a magic tool. I'm just telling you, it's a great witnessing opportunity. People look at you funny and they say, "What is that?" Be ready. Better have that black track ready. Ready to give out the gospel. Read it. Discuss it. Study it. Tote it. Carry it with you. Have it on you. Now, there's one last word you got to say, and then we're going to pray. Is the word go. Go. If you're going to know that you're saved, you got to go to Jesus. If you're going to show that you're saved, you got to go to the world. If you're going to grow in salvation, you got to go to the Bible. Did you get it? If you're going to know, you got to go to Jesus. That's where you find eternal life. If you're going to show the gospel, you got to go to the world. That's the lost people. And if you're going to grow, you got to go to the Word.